listening to Fox Sports Radio.
And we're going to put a moratorium. We are not talking Saints and that pass interference anymore. But I want to recap to finish it off, because I listen to Colin again. I do most every day. And he said some stuff that I just so disagree with. We talked about it yesterday. So on one hand, Colin was saying, hey, if you get a call against you and you can win anyway, and if it's in your power to overcome that call, then quit crying. That was one of the a key gist of his response of saying it's no big deal. And yesterday we were talking about some hypotheticals. I kind of thought about it. Imagine if a team's down by one. They're kicking a 40-yard field goal. The field goal goes up and it's good. It's objectively good. It goes through the crossbars. But somehow, some way, the referee says no good. He's waving his arms. All right. Now, I'm not sure if that's reviewable or not. Do we know if it is?
It is.
It is. Let's assume before review, obviously it wasn't reviewable. There was no review. If the ref said no, 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 it was no, no, no. So that would be the most egregious case that a call went against you. It cost you the game. It was objectively wrong. Imagine the response being, well, hey, you're the one that left it up to kicking a field goal to win. So yeah, it was a bad call, but toughen up, buttercup. I'm not sure that would make a ton of sense. It was like, this was an even game. We had a chance to win it. We won it, and it was taken from us. So does anyone here think, oh my gosh, Jonas is coming back for more? Go ahead, Jonas.
Well, I think that the big issue here, if you were to sit a Saints fan down, and who the hell knows where they're at this point, Bourbon Street throwing beads, 15 margaritas deep, and they're miserable with their existence. But if you're a Saints fan, I ask you this. Are you more pissed off about the non-calls or when it happened? Because if that exact same play had happened in the first quarter and you still lost the game, are you putting up billboards and filing lawsuits?
Okay. I think that is the second point, because Colin's second point is a variation of, okay, it was a missed call, but there were other missed calls. And why is one more important than the other? And to me, I think there's two factors that drive that. Number one, how often would the call that was missed be called correctly? So an extreme example would be the field goal going through the uprights. 99% plus of those are going to be called correctly. Boy, it's rare that it's not. Thus, it's particularly egregious because it's objectively the wrong call. And 99 plus percent of the time, it would be called right. I would make the case that pass interference plus to the head, all the different possible penalties, gets called right a vast majority of the time.
94%.
I think probably more than that. Mm-hmm. What would you say, Brad?
The number that came to mind was like 95%.
If you would have said 94, I'd be like, come on.
No.
All right. So
94%.
All right. So 19 out of 20 time. It's very rare for announcers, especially because they're paid in a way by the league, right? In that this is all one big pot of money, and whoever's handing the money over, it's all coming from the NFL right now, which is coming from the fans, all right? Let's be honest. Is the announcers have no great motivation to like really be hard on the refs. So you don't hear much of like a, oh my God, no flag there. Now you do on the home telecast, but you don't on the national telecast. So the fact that if you listen to that playback, it really was like, wow, no flag. That was kind of the call. You don't hear that very often. Some say it's a bang bang play. We're not judging them. But I think it was so clearly the case. Whereas there's always going to be a holding call. There's going to be a he stepped out of bounds. All kind of little things that may objectively be just as big of a call, but they're not going to be called a vast, vast majority of the time. So it's kind of the breaks of the game. So I do think the fact that this was so obvious and so often it would be called made it particularly egregious anti-Saints. Whatever it is about Jonas's past that makes him not like the Saints, I mean, we're going to have to get into that like in May and June when things slow down. But to me, that was egregious. And number two, it was egregious because you could clearly connect the way that one call would have led to the win, right? Neil, Neil, three plays for the Rams. It would have been an automatic, or for the Saints, automatic first. First down, second down, third. Kick the field goal, which is what? 90%+ from that distance. Kick off, and I think the Rams had like 25 seconds is the math of it. The Saints win what percentage of the time if that's called, Fez?
96%.
Wow, I would have went a little lower than that.
Maybe back to 94.
Yes. Okay. So to me, Colin, in my opinion, incorrectly used the word recency bias, the phrase. Now, what recency bias means in sociology is because something happened more recently, it's more important in your mind. The assumption, though, is it's not fundamentally more important. So that bias is causing you to weight it more than you should. I don't think this is recency bias. Yes, the play happened last, pretty much, of the controversial plays, but it was a more important play. Because, Fez, they went from, at that point, the Saints being what to win the game when it wasn't called versus if it would have been called.
Went from 70% to 96% depending on the call.
So Saints would have been about 70% even after the call.
Yes.
And it went to 95 or so. There's no other play in the game that's going to adjust by even 10%, right?
Yeah, you can give a team 10 extra points in the first quarter. It's not going to adjust that much for a team.
So I think the fact that it so influenced the outcome, and it was so obviously wrong, and it would so typically be called correctly, is what makes the Saints deserve a little empathy, regardless of what Jonas says.
Straight out of Vegas!
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Out of Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
By the way, recapping Jonas's heinousness towards the Saints fans might be the right word. I'm not judging. I do think it's fascinating. A lawsuit about a football game in a way seems absurd. Except how many millions of dollars was bet on that game. Now, if the Super Bowl, we estimate over $10 billion is going to be bet. Even if that's half right, let's say, oh, you're crazy. Well, okay, $5 billion. I think it's 10. That's a lot of money. There's a lot. How much money was lost in the Enron scandal, right? It was billions. Was it much more than 10? I don't think so. I have to go look it back up. But that was lawsuits and jail sentences and the whole thing. As sports betting becomes bigger and bigger legalized, the idea that the participants, the refs, the leagues, the players are going to be held accountable no different than the principals in a public company. Think about that. If you are the CEO of Google, you've got fiduciary responsibilities that will send you to jail if you fail to meet them. The idea that this is just a game, and oh, by the way, there's hundreds of millions, I think at least a billion plus on that Saints game, huh? I think it's more than a game when you have billions on the line.
Guys, let's talk about a little bit of dominance. The AFC Championship saw the New England Patriots beat the Kansas City Chiefs 37-31 in overtime, marking the 9th Super Bowl appearance for Tom Brady and head coach Bill Belichick.
Yeah, no doubt. You know, I'm a little worked up. I'm just so excited about the Super Bowl. I'm going to, instead of slowing down, I'm just going to open my Coke Zero. Hold on. All right, so we're going to really do it. Finish the show strong. Brad, you really led the way with this analysis. The idea that Belichick loves to take away what you love. And boy, that's not only interesting that, oh, he's a genius, but when it comes to prop betting and such, which is huge in the Super Bowl, and we're going to be talking about it pretty much nonstop next week, all the props, hundreds of them. And where there's money to be made. But boy, if we can predict what Belichick's going to do, what he's going to take away, could mean a lot of money. What did you see looking back at the Kansas City game?
Well, let's go back two games ago, the previous Kansas City matchup, what player really hurt New England? Tyreek Hill, 7 catches, 142 yards, 3 touchdowns. Another player that hurt the Patriots in that game, Travis Kelce, had 6 receptions, 50-plus yards in that game. So in the first meeting between New England and Kansas City, KC had a lot of success going to those particular guys. So not so much the second time around. It was clear the game plan for Belichick was to take Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce out of the game plan.
And historically, Belichick has limited Kelce in an extreme way. We gave one of our picks. I gave it on Colin's show or on the podcast we do. And the pick was Kelce under yards, Kelce under catches. Both went under.
Easily.
So the question, Fez, is, and I don't know if we have the answer yet, with the Rams, do you take away Goff or you take away Gurley? Now, we've got another Rams-Patriots Super Bowl to reference when they had a back that was the center, was the queen on the chessboard, some of you guys might remember. And if you read the books that were written after the Rams-Patriots first Super Bowl when it was a 14-point underdog for the Pats, it was an obsession with Belichick. I wonder, it seems like Gurley is that type of back, but on the other hand, Gurley hasn't been Gurley. What are we thinking early?
If this game had been played after 12 weeks, I'd say he's going to take away Gurley because Gurley was averaging 19 carries and 98 yards. Since then, RJ, Gurley has been a shell of himself, and in the playoffs, yeah, he had 16 carries in the first playoff game and had a good game. Last game, 4 carries, 10 yards. That's not someone you have to take away. That's someone that's barely seeing the field.
So the question, when you say barely seeing the field, meaning a replacement level type player.
Yes.
Now, if it is physical, 2 weeks might help. So right now, if you had to have your gut feeling, understanding we're going to evolve our handicap as time passes, what's your gut feeling? What does Belichick stop? What does he put the focus on stopping? Because history tells us that when he decides to stop something, he's pretty successful.
My gut says he stops Goff.
Really?
Yes.
I don't agree with that.
I don't either.
Whether it's Anderson or Gurley, he takes them away and makes Goff. If he's going to go down, it's going to be Jared Goff stepping up and beating
especially
him.
With the brightest of the bright lights.
Yes.
Wow.
I would love to. We'll be pushing buttons.
He's taking away C.J. Anderson, a guy who's just off the couch
five weeks ago. Is Gurley out?
No, Gurley's playing.
So I'm confused. Why are you talking about C.J. Anderson?
Because he's been getting more carries in the playoffs.
Well, like we said, if we knew that was going to happen, so what do you think the props numbers are going to be on Gurley? You think it's going to be like over under 14 and a half yards rushing?
I think both Gurley and C.J. Anderson are both going to come in the mid-50s for expected yards.
Wow. So then that's one of those, if you have the answer to one question, if you believe Gurley's going to become, again, the feature back, then no matter how ineffective he is, if he gets his touches, he's going to go over that.
Absolutely.
I mean, this is what's so fascinating about handicapping props with Belichick. Usually it's defenses are going to just try their best. With Belichick, you got to handicap his mind, and then it tells you who you bet. Luckily, we've got a lot of time to do it.
I mean, he might focus to stop Greg Zuerlein. You never know with Belichick. I mean, he could go in a bunch of different directions.
Well, with Belichick, it might be like a Nancy Kerrigan type situation.
That is true. That is true.
Straight out of Vegas!
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Out of Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific.
I tell you, Jones, a Carson Wentz story... titillating.
Yeah, there was a story that came out on Monday, according to the PhillyVoice.com, that Carson Wentz, citing a half dozen sources, anonymous sources in the Eagles locker room, that he's difficult to play with. He doesn't want to run some of Nick Foles' plays. Just a difficult teammate. They called him selfish at times. So his teammates in Philadelphia, several of them, came out to his defense, calling the report bogus. There's been a lot of them all over social media. But RJ, what does Vegas think of the news that came out and the future of Carson Wentz in Philly?
You know, I think my thought is going to be different than most of Vegas. Vegas is driven by numbers. And I'm not talking about dollar signs, as in, hey, the bottom line is all that matters. I'm talking about analytics, algorithms, AI, artificial intelligence is where we are moving as a market-setting industry. And I can promise you, in the bigger liquidity markets like the NFL sides, I've been contacted just in the last 4 months by two different groups, each with top-level data scientists, like guys at NASA, guys at IBM-level stuff, saying, hey, we want to do an NFL algorithm. Do you want to help? And to me, and just, you know, as an aside, I said no to both because I'm a big believer to bet at the size you need to be to fund such an endeavor. It's not about winning. I think AI, the right smart people could certainly come up with an AI program to predict the NFL in a way that was profitable. The question was, how much would they have to get off a game in order to fund the infrastructure, all the expense around that? And Billy Walters, the famous biggest bettor of all time in sports, his skill wasn't picking winners. He did fine. He hired the right people for that. Pregame.com alum David Malinsky worked with Billy Walters for over a decade. And Malinsky was sharp as a tack, no doubt. But it was the ability to get off $200,000, $300,000, $500,000 on a bet. It's not easy. Fez, sometimes if you want to bet a college basketball total at certain places in town, what's your current limit?
On the overnights, as low as $100. Even the day of the game, most places right now, RJ, $300 to $500 maximum on the betting apps.
So on one hand, college totals, obviously more niche, not as big of a market. But even NFL sides, if you're a real winner, it's really hard to get down. And thus, you're going to have to deal with some unsavory characters to try to get down in the gray markets. And to me, luckily, I don't need to do that to make a living. So I don't like being with Fez. You're okay, but I don't like unsavory characters. I mean, you've got a degree from Northwestern, so even though your street cred's fine, I look at you more as an academic.
I got so many math geeks as friends. It's nice to have an unsavory or two to have some interaction.
So, to me, what does this have to do with Wentz? It's the idea that the pros here in town, it's always numbers, numbers, numbers. Look at the numbers. These are human beings. We never heard about Carson Wentz. We never heard about him being a problem 2 years ago. But lo and behold, his backup quarterback wins the Super Bowl. And all of a sudden now, he has a problem. I'm sure he was imperfect this year because he's a human being. Right? Could he have done better? Maybe. I don't even know. But what I know is there, if you start talking psychology to any of these serious Vegas guys that are the green eye shades, numbers, 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 they laugh at you. They act like you're a goof. And it goes into the Charles Barkley stuff, you know, analytics. It's not one or the other. I think numbers should be 80% of it. But this Wentz story, if you read it, think how differently you would have been betting the Eagles if you knew this, and none of it was numbers based. It was all emotions. And if we act like that doesn't matter, I think we're fooling ourselves. And I think that's why the pure math guys usually are not the best batters.
Straight out of Vegas!
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.